Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing his series from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, with a message entitled, Faithful and Unafraid. Lord, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I wish to speak with you about faithful and unafraid. Very often those two do not seem to go well together in our world. But indeed, here we have an example of two people who were faithful and they were not afraid of even what such a mighty Pharaoh could do to them. We have been making our way through Hebrews chapter 11. And we come just a little past the midway point. Some of the individuals who are mentioned here, those who had walked by faith, trusting in God, their names are well known to us. Some are much lesser known to us, and here are two individuals. We are told that this one verse, that it was by faith Moses. But really, it is by faith Amram and Jochebed, for they were the ones who were exercising faith, who were trusting in what God had said, and that what their confidence that he would do it. And so before we come and examine by faith Moses, we come to this one solitary verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and we consider by faith Moses' parents. We consider by faith Amram and Jochebed. A great preacher of about a century ago was Dr. F. B. Meyer. F. B. Meyer. He is a man who I have enjoyed reading greatly and who I think bears hearing once again. I pulled a book off my shelf, you might say happenstance. I just happened to see it out of order, and I realized that it was about the life of Moses, and so I delved into it and was richly blessed for what it had to say about this verse. F.B. Meyer, he says that Moses belonged, first of all, to an alien race. Secondly, he belonged to an oppressed race. Thirdly, he was born at a time of unusual trouble, but he was the child of believing parents. And what a blessing it is when a child has that heritage to build upon. And though Moses would go into the court of Egypt, and we need to understand that in the Bible, Egypt is a picture of the world. And so when you have the Israelites going down into Egypt, it's like they're being immersed, they're being enveloped in the world. And when Moses is taken into Pharaoh's palace, he is being taken into the pinnacle of what this world has to offer. But then God, he begins to draw out. First of all, Moses is drawn out, as we will see, and finally, the children of Israel, the whole nation, millions of people are drawn out, and God brings them to himself. He goes down and he brings out of this world a people to himself, And he continues to do that very thing. He continues to draw a people unto himself, to the praise, honor, and glory of his name. But Moses, when he was born, it was a desperately difficult time in the nation of Israel. Born to an alien race, they were outsiders. He was born to an oppressed race. And not only that, but he was born, as Meyer says, at a time of unusual trouble. I constantly delight in how that the Word of God speaks to the people of God in their time, and that there are words here which so strengthen and bless us. This time in which we pass is most certainly a time of unusual trouble. We think back into Exodus chapter 2, and we think of how that Moses was born to a couple at a very time when the edict of Pharaoh was, every male that is born to you is to be thrown into the Nile River. They were to be instantly put to death, that the Israelites might no longer grow in number, but that there might be a cap, and that there might be some way of diminishing this population growth. But we read that Jochebed, she, after hiding her boy, her beloved boy, for about a space of 3 months, when his cries were starting to get loud and it was difficult to hide him, she takes some bulrushes and she makes a basket. She makes sure that it is waterproof, and she puts her baby into the basket and puts him out among the reeds by the Nile. I think through the scriptures of how that God was working in a couple's life before he would bring along a key leader to the people. Before there was Isaac, there was Abram, and there was Sarah. Before there was the mighty Samson, there was Manoah and his wife who God dealt with. Before there was Samuel, there was Elkanah and the godly Hannah. Before there was John the Baptist, there was Zacharias, and there was the barren Elizabeth. And so before there was Moses, there was Amram and Jochebed. But Jochebed, she takes her baby, puts him into the basket, and puts him among those bulrushes along the Nile. And here comes the daughter of Pharaoh down to the Nile to bathe. And she spies that basket, and she sends one of her maids that she might retrieve that and brings it to her. She opens it up, and the boy was crying, and she is moved with compassion. She feels pity for the child. She says, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Miriam had been set at sentinel. She had been set at a post there by the river to watch what would take place. She rushes up and offers that she might find for Pharaoh's daughter a nurse from among the Hebrew women, not saying that it would be the mother of the child. But God was watching over, and God was protecting. God was caring. Many of the people through this time, we know that they had forsaken and they had forgotten the faith of the patriarchs. I think down to Acts chapter 7 and verses 42 and 43. This is in the sermon which the deacon Stephen gave in his defense. Acts chapter 7, verses 42 and 43. He says, God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven. He's speaking of the people who came out of Egypt and were in the wilderness. As it is written in the book of the prophets, it was not me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? You also took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of the god Rompha, the images which you made to worship. I also will remove you beyond Babylon. You see, the people, they had down there in Egypt, they had been drawn away and they were worshiping other gods rather than the true and the living God. But Amram and Jochebed, they continued to worship the one true God. And how privileged Moses was, along with Aaron and Miriam, his older brother and sister, to be raised in that home. Now, Moses was not there for very long. We read also in Exodus chapter 2, in the opening verses, that very quickly, Jochebed, and I'm sure it was with heavy heart, that one day she would take Moses and present him in the court of Pharaoh, and Moses, meaning I have drawn him out of the water, Pharaoh's daughter gives to the child this name, Moses, I have drawn him out, and Moses becomes her son, and he is raised in all of the wisdom. For the next 40 years, he is there in the world and under the influences of the world. I think of various individuals in the Bible who had harrowing times, especially night times. I think of Abraham when he was called by God to offer up Isaac, his son, as a burnt offering. We are told that there was a night which passed. And what a harrowing, what a horrific night it must have been, as Abraham undoubtedly struggled. But we are not told of the struggle. We are simply told that in the morning, Abraham got all of the provisions ready. He took his son Isaac and two other servants, and they made their way straight for that place where Isaac was to be offered. But what a night it must have been. I also think to the great prophet Ezekiel. The relationship which is described between Ezekiel and his wife is one of the most tender, loving relationships that is enclosed within the pages of Holy Scripture. But God comes to Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, I am going to take away from you the delight of your eyes, but you are not to weep. It is going to be a sign to the people of Israel that when Jerusalem and the temple is taken away from them, it will be such a deep grief that the typical mourning which is done will be utterly insufficient. And they will just carry on with dry eyes and with voices that are silent. And so we read from Ezekiel's own pen that God spoke to him, and in the evening his wife died. And in the morning, after that horrific night, in the morning, Ezekiel did as he was instructed by God. Here we have Jochebed bringing her boy to place him into the hands of this world. But yet her confidence was in God. I know that I speak to many who you have a family member for whom you are heavy-hearted. You aren't just heavy-hearted, actually you are devastated. Your spirit has been crushed within you. Perhaps it is for a son, for a daughter, who you sought to influence for the kingdom of God, to raise them, to train them, to place within them. I would want to encourage you with what God's word has to say. Here we have in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, the word that by faith Moses, and really as we've said, it was by faith Moses' parents, they took their precious boy and they hid him because they were not afraid of what Pharaoh had to say about the matter. What was the motivation for this kind of faith? They themselves were risking their necks for them to violate the king's edict and the king's command, Pharaoh's command, that is. How was it that they had such faith in a God who others round about them, their kinfolk, had given up on worshiping and who thought that he was nowhere around? He was off in some other land at best, if he ever existed at all. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph and his brethren who had brought them down into Egypt, they were dead and buried. Yes, there was Joseph's bones over there, but not sure how many people paid attention to that because of the life that they were living, the hardship they were enduring, and the constant concerns of just keeping on with what needed to be attended to. What was the motivation for Amram and Jochebed to have this kind of faith? We read from Romans chapter 10 and verse 7. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Back at the beginning of Exodus, what was the word of God? They didn't have anything such as what we have in our full copy of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, but yet there was the record of what God had done, what God had promised, and here is what they were hanging all of their hopes on. I take you back to Genesis chapter 15, and what God promised to Abram before he ever had a son. Abram thought that a man born in his house, a slave or a servant, was going to be his heir. But God came to Abram and said, no, this isn't going to be your heir. You're going to have a son yourself. And we read in Genesis chapter 15 of a covenant, a binding agreement, a ironclad promise that God makes to Abram. I begin reading in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 15. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Amram and Jochebed, they said, oh, that's us. We are the descendants of Abraham. And we are strangers in a land that is not our own. In that land they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. Amram and Jochebed, they got out the calendar and they said, wow, there have been generations since that time. Yeah, we're coming up close to that 400-year mark, which God had promised. And if God said it, we are going to hold on that what He has said, He will do. What He has promised, He will make good. God, in His promise to Abram, He said, I will judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. God says to Abram, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age as he was. But first of all, having Isaac, though only one, and you might say, well, that's not much. Why didn't he have a dozen or 20 kids if he was going to be a great nation? Let's get on with this. But God, He tested Abram's faith, first of all in the delay, and then in giving him one and only one son through which the promise would flow. And verse 16 of Genesis chapter 15, then in the fourth generation they will return here. This was eschatology back in Abram's day, but from our point of view, it is looking back many thousands of years. This was forward thinking. This was way ahead of the time. But Abram, he hears God speaking with this promise, you, in the fourth generation, your descendants will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. This is what the people had to hold on to. You might say, wow, that wasn't very much, was it? Indeed. Compared with the blessings and with the understanding and with the revelation which has been made through Holy Scripture to us, indeed, it was not very much. But they held on to that. How that chides us. How that pushes us. How that implores that we also might hold on to every portion of God's holy word. The motivation for Amram and Jochebed's faith was the word of God which they had, and which they delighted in, which guided them, which caused them to remain steadfast, though they were aliens in a strange land, though the rod fell heavy upon their backs, though it was a time when they surely thought the end was near, and that they might be obliterated because of the unusual trouble and because of the decrees of the Pharaoh that was being issued. But there was hope. Yet a child was born to this union, and God was continuing to lead His people forward, ever, always forward. In Hebrews, we have considered how that at the beginning and then the end of chapter 11, that the driving goal is the approval of God. And that if we are to be found pleasing before the Lord, that we must walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 begins, without faith it is impossible to please Him. It is saying that faith
is an absolutely essential, all necessary ingredient to being pleasing to the Lord and of being approved of God. Are you approved of God? Some people might say, how can I be approved of God? How can I be pleasing in His sight? God is able to work in your heart. He is able to draw you. He is able to work that which we are unable to do, and we are able to be found pleasing before Him. As we walk by faith, as we continue to grow in faith, all of these things, which in man's power and in this world's ability are beyond our control, yet we can walk by faith in Him. I would bid you to come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and I would bid you to call upon the name of the one who died on that center cross for you, trusting in His promises, believing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The world would say, oh, most sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God declares, cleanses us from every sin. I would bid you to come to place your trust in the one who has loved you, died for you, the one who is coming back and who will be the judge of the living and the dead. He is the one in whom we fix our attention. Bow with me in prayer, please. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the privilege of digging into your word and of seeing here a faith, a vibrant, living, powerful faith from about 3,500 years ago. Lord, thank you for how that in our day, how that we very often feel like aliens, and we feel like we are oppressed, and we feel like things are ever so turbulent and increasingly so. Lord, help us to continue to place our hand in your hand, looking to your word, delighting in it, confident that what God has said, He will do. Lord, all of our rejoicing is in you. And so, Lord, receive praise, honor, and glory, and work your will in us and through us, out from us, into the hearts and lives of others, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of audio CDs with it. This series of messages from the book of Acts especially focuses upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy and be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6. Or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.